Listen to Jesus. So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Let's ask Jesus for his help. Lord Jesus, show us two things this morning. In fact, let us see what you can see. Take the specks and logs out of our eyes and help us to see two things. One, how sinful we actually are. How many logs we actually carry in our eyes all the time. But secondly, how much you love us. How much you still love us. How much you care. And may we then, seeing those two things, learn to love each other. Amen. So imagine you're a keen tennis player. Imagine you like tennis. And so you become a member of a tennis club. I'll make this up. Let's call it North Coast Tennis Club. Right. And every Sunday morning, 9:30, the tennis club gets together for tennis. And so off you go. Sunday morning, super keen for your tennis. Warm up, excited, visualizing in the shower, etc. You get there, you start warming it up. And your fellow tennis players start to arrive for the club gathering. Now, here's the thing. If you're honest, you love tennis, right? You love tennis. But your tennis player fellow members, you don't love them so much. They're a bit of a problem. For example, take Dennis. There's Dennis, who's a menace with his anyone for tennis. You know how it goes. Anyway, so now Dennis, Dennis is a twit. There's just no other way to put it. Dennis is a twit. He's annoying. He's irritating. I really think he's cheating on his wife. I'm sure of it. Then again, I think she's got a little something on the sideline as well. But anyway, who cares? It's not my problem. I don't care. I'm here to play tennis, okay? I'm not interested in their lives. Their life is not my concern. I'm not here to correct their faults. I'm here to play tennis, okay? Oh, here comes Sally. Think about, you know what I call Sally in my head? Tongue lash Sally. Sally has got the sharpest tongue. She has no idea how she cuts people all the time. Mind you, you should see her backhand. Excellent backhand. Great doubles partner. Last week, we had this new couple come to our tennis club. She chased them away with the unkind things she said. But you know what? I don't care, because we've got enough players. And if we get more players, I will get less time on the court to practice my tennis. I don't really care. I'm not here to correct her faults, you know? Oh, and as you're stretching, here comes awkward Andy. Andy is so, I'm glad I only see him on Sundays at the tennis club. He's so awkward. I mean, here he comes wearing purple. What kind of self-respecting sportsman wears purple? I mean, really? Still, he's not a bad tennis player. I'm just glad the guys at work don't know that I hang around with people as awkward as Andy. Anyway, and you're ready to get on the court. You've stretched, you know, bent down, because that's all you do in tennis, bend down, pick up balls all the time. And here comes Mildred. melancholy Mildred. She's got the best serve in the game, but she's always down. She comes here with all her problems. We just want to play tennis. And she's always got problems. I think she only comes here because she's lonely. You know, it's annoying. She's putting me off my game. And of course, here comes, well, at least this is happy. Here comes Rod Laver. He's our best tennis player. Amazing guy. I'm a bit jealous. The only problem is, you should see the way he speaks to his wife. He just interrupts her. He cuts her down. He's always criticized. The poor little thing. You know, she just sits there. She's a nervous wreck. He's just not gentle at all. But you know what? I hope I get to play with him. And anyway, it's not my problem. I'm not here to correct people. I just want to get on with the game. Now, can you all see why I don't play tennis? Yeah. Well, listen, look, I've put you off tennis for life. Look, don't believe me. Actually, I'll give you a surprise. Let me reverse everything I just said. The truth is, relationships at a tennis club are a lot easier than a church. In fact, I would argue that at a tennis club, you can have more fun than at a church, regularly, or at any mutual interest club. Do you know why? Because you're not responsible for your fellow club members. You're not responsible. Relationships at the tennis club are superficial. Why? Because that's the way we like it. It's superficial because our only interest is sport. I'm at the tennis club not because I'm interested in people. I'm interested in tennis. And that's why I'm at the club. My club is about an activity, not people. Church is not like that. Church is not, when you came this morning, did you see what was written on the wall outside? It said this, Jesus, tennis, eternity. It didn't say that. In fact, it didn't even say this, Jesus, singing, eternity. It didn't even say that. Do you know what it said? Jesus, people, eternity. Our church is about people. People matter. In fact, our church is not about people. People are the church. The church is the people. And so it says Jesus, people, eternity, because Jesus is our source. He's our love. He's our truth. He's our foundation. He's our life. He's our everything. He's our delight. Jesus is what we have in common. This is what we all share. It's a person, Jesus. And Jesus would say, if you love me, love my people. But it also says people, Jesus, people, because our game, our business is people. That's our business. That's our game. And eternity is our goal, our direction, our aim. Now, Captain Jesus has formed his club, the church. And in the Sermon on the Mount, over the last 18 weeks, he has been teaching his club members, his followers. And up to now, he's been teaching us about the Father and us. He's been teaching us how to relate to the Father, how to think about the Father, etc., etc. Now, from today, he changes the focus a little bit. Although it's mixed up, but a little bit. And here's what he's going to talk about today. He's going to talk about this, the horizontal relationship between club members. He goes from this relationship to this relationship. And get this one is primary. This one is secondary, but it's just as important. And here's the overriding principle. I put it on the outline for you. Chapter 7, verse 12. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. Now, we'll come to that verse. But I thought I'll just put it up there for you. What we're going to do is we're going to concentrate on verse 1 to verse 6, because he's going to show us how that principle plays out in one very special area: judgmentalism. If you want to kill a community quickly, introduce judgmentalism. And Christians are good at being judgmental. Very good. It comes in our growth groups. I've written why I think that is so for you to look at. So let's look at what Jesus says this morning. And here's what he says. First of all, don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. Look at verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Very clear words. But what do they mean? Judge not that you be not judged. What does he mean? I know what the world thinks he means. Actually, I know what the world wants him to mean. If you go to a non-Christian's house, this is their verse on their fridge. Judge not. It's one of the favorite verses of our world. What they mean by this is that there's no right and there's no wrong. Because who can judge? They say there's no right and there's no wrong. In other words, is it okay for Dennis to cheat on his wife? Judge not. Judge not. Don't judge. It's okay if he cheats on his wife. Who's to say if that's right or wrong? Judge not. Is it okay for Sally to cut everyone with what she says? Just ignore it. Don't judge. Just ignore it. Let her lacerate other people. It's okay. Just ignore it. Is it all right if Rod is ugly to his wife? Hey, who am I to judge? Judge not. Just let it carry on. And so we put on a smiley face. We ignore our faults and we praise the Lord. Is that what Jesus means when he says, judge not? No, that's not what he means at all. Love is better than that. Love is not like. Love is better. Love never, ever changes. This is true. But love changes you. Love always, always changes people. When you love someone, your love will change them. I know the bard said, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, nor bends to the room. But what he's saying there is love doesn't change. You love unconditionally. Even when someone's got faults, you still love them. But your love will change them. Love is the power in the universe for change. And a church, unlike a tennis club, we don't just want to play nicely together. We don't want to play nicely together. We want to love each other. And if we're going to love each other, we need to grow together. Here's how the book of Galatians puts it. Look at this, brothers. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should just say nothing. Stay quiet and judge not. No. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the Sermon on the Mount, or as it says in Galatians, fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, so that's not what Jesus means. What he means is, don't be judgmental. What does that mean? And in our passage, he tells us three ways we should not be judgmental. Here's the first. Number one, remember, you will be judged. Remember, you will be judged. This is how not to be judgmental. Look at verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Jesus is saying that you will be judged. there is a point at which every single one of us will be judged. There is a judge. There is a judge. And here's what Jesus is saying. And it's not you. There is a judge. And it's not you. Look at verse 2. For with the judgment you pronounce, look at it closely, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus is saying, the world thinks judge not means there's no right and no wrong. Jesus is saying, no, no, no. Judge not, because there is a right and a wrong. And there is a judge, but it's not you. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't judge, because remember, you will be judged. It's very hard for late modern people to hear this. In Australian society, we think there is no absolute right and wrong. We think each one of us creates our own right and wrong. What is right for me may not be right for you. What is wrong for you may not be wrong, etc. In fact, let me just quote the US Supreme Court. Here is the judgment of a secular age. Listen to this. The US Supreme Court said this: at the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. What are they saying? Here's what our secular society thinks. You all are judges. You get to judge yourself what is right and what is wrong. Only you can judge you. Only you can judge you, because you get to say what is right and what is wrong. You don't judge me, because if you did, I would judge you too, because I got issues, but you got him too. That's how our world thinks. But Jesus says the opposite. He says, don't judge, not because there's no right and wrong, but because you're not the judge. And you don't get to say what is right and wrong. Who is the judge? Who is the judge? Who is the judge? Is it Donald Trump? Is it Scott Morrison? Who gets to say what's right? Who gets to say whether racism is good or bad? Who gets to say? Who gets to say what I should do with my sex life? Me? Democracy? Does democracy, if we take a vote, is that what's right? So 200 years ago, everyone voted racism's okay. Now we vote it's bad. Who knows what'll happen in 300 years' time? Do we decide what's right and wrong? Look who's talking. Who's telling us these things? The judge. Jesus Christ is the only judge. He's the one telling us these things. Look what he said. Have a look at this. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, I've given you some examples. Listen to the judge. You've heard it said, do not murder. But I say to you, whoa, who do you think you are? You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, whew. You've heard it said, love your neighbors, hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemy. Who is this man? His name is Jesus. And he's the judge. There's no point in saying this. Who gets to say what's right or wrong? Jesus gets to say what's right or wrong. And so here he tells us in verse 1 and 2, be humble, be gentle. Remember, you're going to be judged too. Now he doesn't mean ignore your brother's faults. That's not what he means. Imagine there's a speed trap. Imagine you go to Lakeside Mall and you go down the Mitchell Freeway and you go to Lakeside Mall and there's one of those white X-trails. You know, I got a white X-trail. It's so fun. Everyone slows down around me. It's so weird. But anyway, there's one of those white X-trails and you know, they put the camera in the back, right? And you go to Lakeside Mall, and as you're shopping, there's your sister, Sally Godiva, you know? Now, Sally Godiva travels at the speed of light, you know. And so what's the loving thing to do to your sister? What's the loving thing? Hey, Sally, how are you going? Oh, good to see you. Hey, I just wanted to say, look, I'm not, but there's a speed trap on Mitchell Freeway. I just, you might want to, you know, just look out. You don't want to say, Sally, you're an idiot. I drive way better than you. You're useless. Drive properly. Slow down, woman. That's not what you want to do. But at the same time, if you have any love for your sister, you want to correct her faults humbly, remembering you're going to drive over the same speed trap yourself. Listen, there is a day coming when all of us are going to go over the speed trap. There is a day when Jesus will judge the world. And if you love your brother in humility, you want to warn them about what lies ahead. Now think with me, everybody think. If Jesus is the only judge, and if only Jesus can say what's right or wrong, listen, think, then remember, our standards of right and wrong don't matter. And that's the second way not to be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. Remember, you will be judged. Number two, don't be judgmental. Remember not to use your own standards. That's judgmental. Look at verse 1 and 2. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. Look at this. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus is saying it is judgmental to judge other people by your judgments and by your measurements. The human nature is we judge other people by our standards. I wouldn't wear a hat like that, so how can he? We have standards that are not God's standards, and it makes us self-righteous, and we are so convinced we are right and they are wrong. We are absolutely, Jesus is on my side. No question about that. Listen, you can impose things on yourself. You can do that. As a Christian, you are free to do that. But you can't impose on others what you impose on yourself. It's not up to us to judge. The Bible gives us two brilliant examples of this. One about food and one about the Sabbath. Have a look at this in Romans chapter 14. Look at this. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Look at this. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Look at this. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's before his own master that he stands and falls. Look at what it's saying. What it's saying is that there are certain areas where you can impose things on yourself, but you can't judge your brothers and sisters on those issues. Things about opinion, things about food. The Seventh-day Adventists have every right to be vegetarian if they want to, and we can't judge them. But they cannot judge us for eating meat. That's what the Bible says very clearly. Neither of those things are sinful. I only eat naturally processed vegetables. It's called beef. But there you go. But, you know, it's amazing how we pass judgment on others. I've heard Christians say it's a sin to drink alcohol. That's judgmentalism. Here he gives us another example about the Sabbath. Look at what he says. One person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. Praise God. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since she gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord. It gives thanks to God. We've had families leave our church because I am not Sabbatarian. That's judgmental. If you want to believe that the Sabbath is a Saturday, that's cool. If you want to believe that the Sabbath is a Sunday, that's cool. For myself, I believe the Sabbath is today, not Sunday. Today. Always today. But we can't judge each other on those issues. And Christians can be so judgmental. Clothing, tattoos, alcohol, dating, music, Harry Potter, Christmas, dancing. Stop it. Stop judging, says Jesus. In our growth groups, I've given you lots. Don't go to growth groups this week. It's going to be very awkward. Jesus says you are being judgmental when you judge others according to your judgments and your measurements. But most of all, the way not to be judgmental is the third thing. Look what he says. Remember, this is the most important thing. Remember to correct your own faults first. Look at verse 3 to 5. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Did you all see verse 5? It's quite a shock, isn't it? Guess what? You are supposed to help your brother take the speck out of his eye. This is why we're not a tennis club. You are supposed to help your brother take the speck out of his eye. But, says Jesus, watch out for your own logs. We don't at the church look at a brother who's got a speck in his eye and be like a tennis player. It's not my problem. Or how about this? I don't want to judge. Or how about this? Who gets to say whether a speck in your eye is a good or bad thing? Maybe a speck in his eye is good for him. Don't think like the world. But if you love your brother, you will want to help him remove the speck out of his eye. But, says Jesus, look at verse 3. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own eye? Jesus says, keep a log of your own failures. Not quite what he says, but there you go. Always remember your own sins. Well, how about this? Here's a question for you. Do you believe that your sins are worse than other people's? A genuine question. Genuine question. See, we think he's got the log and I've got the speck. That's how we all think. He's got the log, I've got the speck. My sins are specks, her sins are logs. That's how we all think. That's what Jesus says here. Let me help you with your speck. But Jesus says, you've got the log. As long as you think your sins are specks and other people's sins are logs, you're being judgmental, says Jesus. Let's talk about homosexuality. You know, homosexuality. You look at the church, you would think that the biggest log in our society is same-sex attraction. It's the unforgivable sin. That's what we think. That's how we act. We're so busy saying, please, can I help you with that forest in your eye? We don't see the log in our own eye. We condemn homosexuality, but we're all lusting after each other. We condemn homosexuality, but we're all undressing people who are not our wives and husbands in our heads. We condemn homosexuality, but we're all perving at Amelia, what's her name, Clark, on her breasts on Game of Thrones, but we're condemning those homosexuals. The saying is true. We tolerate least in others what we condemn in ourselves. It's a true saying. Now, in case anyone misunderstands me, yes, homosexuality is a sin. It is unacceptable to God. But so is lying. And so is stealing. And so is overeating. And so is our laziness. Which one's the speck? Which one's the log? You don't get to decide, nor do I. We don't get to decide what's the speck, what's the log. That's judgmental. In verse 3, Jesus is saying you've got an eye problem. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, verse 3, and you don't notice the log? Here's what Jesus is saying. When it comes to your own sins, you're short-sighted. You can't see a word. When you look at your brother, your eyes turn into microscopes. And you can see specks. I can see specks. I've got such good vision, 20/20 vision. When I look at myself, I can't see a word. Jesus also says, stop being so enthusiastic and zealous to correct others when you're happy to let your faults fly. Look at verse 4. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? Jesus is saying you're so quick to fix everybody, but you're very patient with yourself. Very patient. She says a bad word. Oh my goodness, you pounce on her. I've got to correct this. The zeal of the Lord is upon me. I must correct her instantly. But with my own sins, hey, I'm working through it over time, you know. Look at verse 5. Bottom line, you hypocrite. That's what Jesus is saying. When you're a judgmental, you're being a hypocrite. And yet, we're not a tennis club. Look what he says. First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You are still responsible to help your brother. Let's look at Galatians again. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Fulfill the law of Christ. If you want to really, truly love your brothers and sisters, work on yourself. Did you hear that? Husbands, do you want to fix your wives? Fix yourself. People, do you want to love your brothers and sisters? Fix yourself. Then you'll be able to love them gently with humility. It's real love, you know. Don't you hate it? Have you ever been to a wedding? Don't you hate it when you go to a wedding, right? Lovely spread and, you know, photographs, everyone's snapping away and you're trying to get close to the, you know, you want to be in the, you know, the Facebook and all that. So, you know, and they're taking pictures of you. You're looking absolutely dashing. You know, you've just got this new suit and this new hat and looks amazing. And you go to the bathroom for a wee. And then you go to the mirror and, oh, you've got a whole olive skin covering one of your teeth. What do you feel? Where were my friends? I've been posing, trying to get into every picture for the last hour, and I've got a big black missing tooth. Where were my friends? Where's the love? Church is a giant mirror where your friends tell you you've got olive skins on your teeth. Your friends help you to grow. In our growth, that's why our growth groups are called growth groups. Because together we learn to love and correct one another. You should see what I've written in the growth group studies for this week. There's going to be heaps of fun. Now, seriously, who's sitting here this morning going, oh, I'd rather just be part of a tennis club. Really, I just want to play the game. I just want to sing. Can we sing already? Let me help you understand something as we close. All this talk of judging and correcting and self-examination, my goodness, why is it so important? Because look again who's talking. Look who's talking. The judge himself is talking. The judge has come from heaven to earth. And he's come on a mission not to judge, but to prepare us for the judgment. This is why this is so important. Imagine on Tuesday this week, you have to go to the Supreme Court. And you're not, this is terrifying. Massive case on Tuesday. Oh, you've got two ulcers already. You've lost sleep. You're pacing up and down on your lounge. Terrified. Tuesday, massive court case. And there's a knock on the door. And you open up. It's the judge. What's he doing? Hey, buddy. Oh, you know, I thought I'll only, I've been having nightmares about you. Come on. I've come to help you prepare for the trial. I want to help you. This is what the Sermon on the Mount is. Here is the judge, and he's come to help us. And the reason why we want to love one another is because we want to prepare each other for that great day. But there's more. The judge has not just come to earth to help us. He's actually come to do something we could never do. The judge has come to earth to face his own judgment. And there's no human parallel to this, sorry. The judge has come to earth to die. Because the judge has come on earth to hang on a cross, to take upon himself all our logs and all our specks. The judge has come to hang on two logs, the cross, and as he hangs on that cross, he, the perfect judge, his eyes are crystal clear, no specks in his eyes, no logs, he lived a perfect life. That judge is dying on a cross for you. Because he, listen, he wants to take the speck out of your eye. He wants to take the log out of your eye. And the way he can clean your eyes is to die in your place. And on the cross, he takes the punishment you deserve. The judge is also the ophthalmologist. The judge is also the savior. And that's why, in line with him, we turn around and we love our brothers and sisters by helping them. Throughout his life, it's amazing how many, in Jesus' miracles, how many blind people Jesus healed. To point to the fact that he can give us clean eyes to love one another humbly and gently. If anyone turns to the judge and says, Judge Jesus, please take the logs out of my eyes. Please take the specks out of my eyes. If anyone turns to him, he will forgive. Do you know why? Because mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Everyone, judgment is necessary. Mercy is a choice. And Jesus chooses mercy. He loves to be merciful. Now, Christians who've come to him and received his mercy turn around and they are merciful to the people around them. There's a family in our church. I think they might be here this morning. So if you see someone, blush. But I'm not going to mention names. They have got the three most gorgeous children. Three beautiful children, and they've all got fiery red hair. And you just look at the dad and you laugh. It all comes from the father. We have a father in heaven who is a merciful judge. If we are truly his children, listen, we will be merciful judges. We're not liberals. We don't say there's no right or wrong. We make judgments. Sorry, homosexuality is wrong. We make judgments. Not our judgments, his judgments. But at the same time, we are extremely merciful. Because that's what our father's like. We got red hair like our father. He's a merciful judge. And that's what Christians ought to be. We ought to clear each other's eyes. We ought to correct one another in love, humility, patience, and kindness. Now, I suppose I should say something about verse 6. Should I? What does verse 6 mean? You know what? Why don't you text me if you want me to say something about verse 6? I don't want to concentrate on it. Well, look at it. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn you. You know what Jesus is saying? Some people you just can't reach. That's what he's saying. Sometimes just shut up. That's what he's saying. Sometimes you go tell someone, you're just inviting an attack. If someone texts me, I'm happy to give you a classic example of this. That's just happened in our society where Christians have been unsmart and thrown pearls before pigs. Jesus in verse 6 says, sometimes just keep quiet. Well, why don't we pray? And I'm going to give you a few moments to chew on these things. Don't be judgmental. Remember you will be judged. Don't be judgmental. Remember not to use your own standards. Don't be judgmental. Remember to correct your own faults first. I'll give you a few moments to think about that. Here's a prayer you might want to pray. Father God, I am guilty. I am guilty of ignoring the logs in my eye. Please wash me. Clean me because of Jesus. Or here's another prayer you might want to pray. Lord Jesus, help me to be open to being corrected by my brothers and sisters. Amen.